podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Already had our first call in from New York today. Second one is coming at the bottom of the hour when Jesse Adler will join us.
Jesse.
Yes.
We might have another one, yes?
So I got a text back. Yeah, I saw the pictures, and our buddy Matt Ginella was all dolled up with his wife Katie. But apparently they were just at a special like Met Gala side party. I thought they actually got to go to the Met Gala. He was with some high, you know, level like fashion people and part of the evening, but he wasn't actually inside the Met Gala. But he said they were all conversing. I was just watching the game on my phone the entire time. So
doesn't seem like much of his scene there.
He looked sharp, though, I will say that.
Yeah, I mean, he and his wife are beautiful, beautiful
people. Yeah, I kept seeing all the Met Gala stuff, which was the big thing in New York last night. And I don't even understand what the... It's an art museum, right?
I think it's essentially a fundraiser.
For the art museum, but they get every celebrity, they all go to it.
I'm saying this, like, looking down my nose at you, like, how dare you not know? I asked my wife the same thing last night in bed. What is this for? She goes, it's for the Met. And I go, the Met, the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Yeah. She goes, yeah. And I go, what? She goes, well, they're raising money for it. I go, oh, a gala, hence the gala. Like, I did the Country Coastal gala for our elementary school. It's basically the same thing.
But how much were tables going for at the Country Coastal?
Paulie, I was the host. I didn't have to pay.
I was listening to a little Howard Stern on the drive-in this morning. They were talking about the Met Gala. $350,000 for a table.
Wow.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Raise a lot of money then. Yeah.
I assume they take care of most of their fundraising for the year in one night, if that's the case.
So Andre 3000 from formerly of Outkast had a piano. He wore a big giant piano
on
his
back. He wore a piano.
Yeah, it's incredible. Okay. There's a theme every year, and I saw Sydney Sweeney look very good, very attractive. Saw a lot of good-looking people.
Plenty of athletes there as well. Yeah. How do they have room for any of the normal people who are paying $350,000 when
there
everybody...
I don't think there are any normal people.
Are the celebrities paying the $350,000 as well when
maybe.
They go?
No, there's no way.
I don't think so.
I think designers buy the tables and then put celebrities...
In their clothes. Yes. So it's like almost an advertising moment for them.
You know, it's funny. I don't think I would want to go. I don't really like galas of any kind. Really not a big gala guy. Like Galaga. But I don't like galas, but I'll play Galaga all friggin' day. All day long. No problem.
Not
with
a gala guy.
Not a gala guy.
But he does like Galaga.
Galaga guy.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to the Mike Schilt. And I am also, you know me, not that impressed by getting ejected. Anyone can scream their head off.
Sure.
But even I have to acknowledge that was the right time and place. That was the moment when Mike Schilt was absolutely within his rights to lose his mind after his star player got ejected. And again, it wasn't just that one call. It was a number of calls. Every close call, seemingly from home plate umpire Adrian Johnson, had gone the way of the Yankees, whether it was balls outside the zone being called strikes for their hitters, or balls inside the zone being called balls against Nick Pivetta earlier in the game. And the frustration had boiled over. Tatis pretty calmly, seemingly, said something to Johnson as he struck out and walked away. And Johnson didn't even have the respect to give him a real heave-ho. I think that's an insult when an umpire just gives a little tiny point.
Like I agree 100%.
You're out of there. I thought that was an insult to Tatis, who certainly has the status in the game to deserve better than that from the home plate umpire.
Yes, and again, there's a way that you can get thrown out, and then there's a way that you shouldn't be thrown out. Casually whispering something to him and then walking away, didn't show him up, didn't make a big deal out of it. Now, he may have showed him up on the pitch before when he kind of jumped, but again, throw him out then. If you have such a problem with him, then run him there. If you're that sensitive to walk by, say, hey, man, that was a, even if he said, hey, man, that was an absolute horse ass call and I had to chase that next one because of it. And then he's walking away and you give him you threw a guy out as he's walking away from you. That I have a problem with as well. And I always have. So ends up running him, and then Schilt had boiled over at that point. Schilt was on him second inning, third inning. I mean, he was from the dugout, dude. When I say he was frothing at the mouth, he was. He like had the.
He texted me in like the fifth inning.
He had some gum in there that helped. But,
well, Hannah and I call it the meh. When you have that meh on the side of your mouth, he had that meh going last night, and he was hot.
It's hot. It's not quite drool.
No, it's not drool, but it's like meh. This is the best way we can describe it. It's meh.
Spittle.
That meh. Mm. You got some meh right here, right? And he was chirping. I sent you guys a video of him in like the fifth or something. He dropped a couple MFs there in the fifth. And
Mudd even had to acknowledge a little HBO language there from Mike Schiltz.
My whole family rewound it and watched it over and over and over.
After he told us that all he does in the hotel room is read the Bible and sleep on his own pillow.
He doesn't eat sweets, nothing.
Yeah.
Listen. He's an imperfect human, like all of us, right? We all fall short. All right, we all lose our cool from time to time. And again, you talk about picking your moments. He picked the right moment, and when Tatis got run, that he'd seen enough at that point, and he realized, man, we are down three runs. He walks out, the paper goes flying, the glasses go off, and I went, oh, Adrian Johnson, I do not want to be you right now. And actually, we were able to get just a little bit of the audio.
Yeah, you couldn't hear this on the television broadcast, but if you listened very closely,
we got Dave
on
Marcus's inside microphone.
The field
here.
Mic. Yeah, this is what it sounded like in the eighth inning last night.
1-2, the pitch. Fernando swings and misses at the changeup, strike three. Tatis will have parting words for Johnson right in his ear, and Fernando's been ejected. Boy, didn't yell at him, didn't show him up, just kind of whispered sweet nothings into his ear, and Adrian Johnson casually ejected Tatis. Now Mike Schilt is out there, and he is hot.
You threw him out? You threw him out? You want to go? You mother You mother sucking mother you. No, you. That's three times, you mother Got him. Man, he was hot. He was so, so hot last night.
Whew. Possibly a dramatic
recreation. Yeah.
Reenactment.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Although you might have been fairly accurate.
Yeah, well, I watched it 50 times. I couldn't get enough. There's nothing I love more than a great ejection, especially when it's my guy.
Only lasted about 2 minutes longer than even you could pull it off. That's how hot he was. He kept
going. You threw him out? You want to go? You mother You mother sucking mother you. No, you. That's three times, you mother Here's what I didn't like, and somebody brought this up in the chat. The umpire then, now again, all right, let me take my, here, I'll do it like Schilt does it. Ready? Take my Padres glasses off. You're Adrian Johnson. You've been getting worn out the whole game. It's raining. You're wet. You stink. You stink. The game is a slog. You're standing in mud. All right, so let me try to really put myself in his shoes. They're up your ass all night. They're screaming at you. Toddy says something to you. You lose your mind for a second. Then you see Schilt come out, flip the script, throw the glasses. He gets in your face. He's screaming at you. He started giving it back to Schilt, and that's when I went, this may go to fisticuffs, dude, at this point. Like, I was
We know that the manager can't touch the umpire. Yeah. I was wondering what happens when the umpire takes a swing at the manager.
Bro, and he started giving
Schilt
it
kind
back.
Of bumped him a little bit in the arm.
I didn't see any contact, thank God. He did not have a good game last night, man. He really didn't. And again, we'll wait for the umpire scorecard. Mike Schilt did reference the old umpire scorecard in his postgame. Paulie, do we have his postgame?
Yeah, here's actual.
Listen, this is really
this is real, Mike Schilt. Yesterday. Hey,
so Toddy, I thought, handled it very well in the sense of, and I'll start by saying this. I mean, look, it's a hard job. I've got good relationships, great relationships with and respect and
pause.
The work of
Paulie and I both told our wives last night in the middle of this. I go, babe, wake up. Schilt's gonna say, I love the umpires. I love him. I mean, it's a hard job. I respect him. I said, I promise you, this guy is the ultimate bread, meat, bread. I've told you guys about bread, meat, bread. Hey, man, I really like you. You're a great guy. You're also kind of a jerk. But at the end of the day, you have a big heart. So you give
him
a little
respect for the umpire. It's a thankless job. He was terrible. That was might be the worst umpire I've ever seen. But look, it's a really hard job.
Bread, meat, bread. So he hits you right out of the bat. He's the master psychologist. Bread hits you with the bread first.
And, you know, Toddy, I didn't agree with earlier. had made my comments from the dugout known, which I don't do a ton. But Dennis walks away, hand over his mouth, and next thing you know, he's ejected, walking away with his back turned for his first major league ejection. And then there's a comment about, which I won't even share the comment, but all I can say is this. We'll talk about track record. I don't have players that I've managed for a long time now, minor leagues, big leagues. I don't have players that get ejected. My job's to do, and I don't get ejected a lot. All right, so, but I probably have the fewest amount of player ejections in my time managing. So our players play, they stay in the game. They're very respectful, rightfully so, to the umpires. I have the majority of the league that, over the course of many years, have been complimentary about how our players respect them, and me and our staff respect them. But he made a decision. He threw him out. I let the body of the work for the umpire grade speak for itself, and we'll leave it at that.
There it is.
Your glasses escape unscathed.
My glasses made it. I did have my head about me to make sure. I got some, you know, a lot of BP, so my shoulders, you know, not as operable as I'd like. But it came into play, and I made sure it stayed in the grass. I don't want them scratched. I like these glasses a lot.
Have you ever thrown your glasses before from an argument like that one?
No, I don't think I have.
AJ Katzenfeld.
Have you ever thrown your glasses before from an argument like that one?
No, I don't think I have.
I'm looking up career ejections right now.
Aaron Boone is the active leader, I would imagine, in the other side of the dugout.
So number one all time is Bobby Cox.
Yeah.
John McGraw. The active leader right now is Bruce Bochy.
Oh, well, all right. Just sense. The years accumulated.
The second one may surprise you. Sleepy Bob Melvin.
Really?
Terry Francona. Aaron Boone.
Yeah.
Bud Black. Craig Counsell. A.J. Hinch, Torrey Lavullo, Brian Snitker, Kevin Cash, Brandon Hyde, Rocco Baldelli, Oliver Marmol, Alex Cora, Derek Shelton, Ron Washington, Mark Kotze, Dave Martinez, then.
Wow.
Old Shilty. I don't know that it, I think last night was his 15th. So he will then catapult up over Kotze and Martinez to be tied with Ron Washington for career ejections. Dave Roberts with 12, which surprises me because that dude barks. Maybe he just doesn't get run a lot. But they constantly cut to the dugout of him just bah, 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 barking at the umps. Maybe they just don't run him. But yeah, Shilty is he's down on the list because he's managed a lot of games. He's been doing this a long time. But it was a good one. It was a Hall of Fame ejection last
and
night.
And you can argue whether it helped the Padres, inspired the Padres. I will accept arguments either way. Hey. Padre, it doesn't matter if the manager gets ejected. You still need to execute. You need to get on base. You need to get hits. The Padres did that. I have no doubt in my mind, though, that his players appreciated and respected him going out there and making their case for them and taking the ejection for the rest of them.
Now, I was not listening to the radio broadcast here on 97.3 The Fan, and I think I should have. I was texting Jesse Agler after the game. And I guess Tony Gwynn Jr. remembered that Adrian Johnson and Mike Schild have a little history. Adrian Ben was on that crew during the National Series. So Schild and he have gotten into it before. I think that's what Tony was saying. And so, yeah, maybe a little bit of history with these guys.
So that was when the warning with Jurickson Profar coming up to the plate, and they did not then throw out the pitcher for the Nationals when he immediately hit Jurickson.
Mackenzie Gore
at the first batter
right.
of the game.
That's right.
You know, and he was insanely mad. Like, okay, you just warned everybody. They threw it the first guy, and you're going to do nothing about it.
Still one of the most egregious things I've ever seen on a baseball field.
No, Brandon says, the Blue Jays series last year when Profar got ejected for tossing his helmet down. Okay, that one. That's the one.
Okay, not the National
Series. Maybe not the National Series. But Tony, I guess Tony went into it in detail on the radio broadcast. Just another reason you should listen to games right here on 97.3, the Fan, home of your San Diego Padres. But yeah, a little bit of history there between the two.
Man. So, you know, ultimately the Padres do come from behind then and get the 4-3 win. They have now won six games in a row, and they are a season high 12 games above 500 for the first time. They have completely erased the four-game losing streak and then some. And by the way, just throw it out there, bullpen did a great job again. Matsui allowed the inherited run to score, but overall, four shutout innings, one hit, four strikeouts, and congratulations to Ryan Burgert, who picked up his first major league victory. A lost story in the game last night, but I'm sure he was celebrated in the clubhouse after the game at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, Shelty gave him some flowers after the game. And hey, how about this, man? Ryan Burgert, 25 years from now. Oh, yeah, I got my first win in Yankee Stadium against the New York Yankees and Aaron Judge. And, yeah.
Comeback win. In that weather.
Estrada, by the way, yeah, as Il619 says, he was a dog. I mean, that ball is soaking wet. All those guys last night, man, you cannot say enough about what they were able to do. I'm so glad that everyone got out of there unscathed. You saw Goldschmidt get a knock in the ninth, slip coming out of the box. You saw Lockridge,
eighth, yeah.
I'm sorry, the eighth. You saw Lockridge go after the ball, slip hard on his butt. Those guys, and credit to Lockridge, Jason Hayward, those fly balls up through the rain. Hayward backing up, they talked about on the broadcast. Bro, he was in like a lunge position when he caught it. You get one foot on the track, you slip.
Slipped in some mud.
And, I mean, it was.
And I've got to imagine, especially when like a guy like Judge is up, he takes a swing.
Oh my God!
You got to read that. That fly ball hit to center field, which I thought probably hit 500 feet, but he just hit it 500 feet in the air. I don't know that I remember a fly ball taking longer to come down from the sky.
Pouring rain in your eyes, and you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Fly balls are hard as hell to catch anyway.
You can give me 100 tries to catch that one. I'm not even touching the ball once on the way down.
Shawshank Redemption. Just
yeah, that's exactly right. Waiting for a fly ball to come. You give Andy Dufresne a glove and a ball and say, if you catch this, you're out. Scot-free. He's dropping that ball. He's going right back inside. It was, it was a great win.
And then Robert Suarez coming in. When you know the Yankees want more than anything to come back and steal that one away and just locking it down for his 14th save with a couple of strikeouts. I mean, going to go down as one of the most memorable games of the season.
Real quick, I had a question last night watching the game. So the umpire crews stay the same for the series.
Yeah.
Now, home plate switches
to third,
over first,
yeah.
Third, whatever. They all switch around. But they're all going to be there when the lineup cards are exchanged at home plate today. I'm like, I don't know if Schilt is just a, you know, it happened yesterday, it's over,
oh,
we
I'm
move
sure.
on. Is it ever awkward the next day after an ejection like that?
Bro, I don't think so. I really don't. And again, you know, when you're a manager, you have to
like,
be.
Does that umpire just sit there and not say anything?
No, I think you have to be. And it wouldn't, honestly, it wouldn't surprise me at all to find out Mike Schilt dropped a text to the dude last night. It wouldn't.
Went over to the umpire's locker room.
100%, yeah. Paulie. Look, when you're a manager, your number one job is to be a politician. That's it. You have to be a politician with the media, you have to be a politician with your players, and you have to be a politician with your umpires. And you heard his response last night. He did not get in there and say, that was the worst umpire. He goes, no, it's a hard job. I get it. You know, I got a lot of respect for those guys. People lose their cool all the time in baseball. And I think I saw a perfect example. Did you guys see what happened with Tarek Skubal and Zach Neto?
Yeah.
So Skubal, he takes Skubal yard in the first inning. And he does his little thing and does his phone call that when he hits third base. Skubal kind of stares at him. Skubal strikes him out the next time. Stares at him and says, see, I can do it too. And Neto's like, you know, F you, whatever. The bench is clear. The bullpen's running. It was a whole much ado about nothing. Then they cut to Skubal, Ben, looking at the Angels dugout. This is 30 seconds later. My bad. And Neto goes, okay, cool. It happens, and then it's over, and you have to.
You let bygones
you
be bygones.
To. You
in
just
baseball.
Have to. Yeah. You have to do it.
All right, we will take a quick timeout. When we come back, don't and do this. Someone needs to teach Eric Karros about context clues.
This is greatness, dude. Hey, Eric, who's on first?
And friend of the show gets a big, big job in Major League Baseball. How about that yesterday? We'll talk about it coming up next with Ben and Woods after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Quickly, guys, let me tell you about all of the fine work that they are doing over at my beloved, and I do mean beloved, QC Kinetics. You guys know my story about my very painful wrists, and these guys got tired of hearing me complain about it, and I complained about it a lot. My wife, everybody did. But finally, went into QC Kinetics, got the treatments on my wrists, and they have been better and stronger, I think, than they've ever What they're doing here in San Diego is nothing short of remarkable. They're using regenerative cell therapy to restore tissue in your achy joints. I was skeptical when I went in. I'm no longer skeptical at all. If I ever have joint pain again, that's the first place I'm going. I'm not going to my doctor. I'm going to QC Kinetics, all right? It's a powerful and potent way to give your joints new life, repairing old tissue. And listen, the most important thing is, if it's keeping you from doing things that you love to do, you don't have to live that way anymore. Call them today for a free consultation and learn about how these cutting-edge treatments can help you live your best life, get you back on the golf course, in the ocean, whatever it may be. 619-614-PAIN, 619-614-PAIN is their number. It's QC Kinetics, 619-614-PAIN.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot, you moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
We're just going to get to it because we got Jesse Agler set to call us in about 10 minutes from New York City and get his thoughts on the game last night. First, though, Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust Your Will online at trustandwill.com.
Yes.
Is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. And we'll start, Woods, with a San Diego native, Patrick Henry High School's Eric Karros.
I laughed. I listened to this a few times last night. Hi-Song Kim, not Ha-Song Kim. Hi-Song Kim making his major league debut last night. Benjamin.
Pinch ran earlier, but got his first hit and first start.
Yeah, first start, got his first hit, got his first RBI for the Dodgers, and he was back in the field. And another player for the Marlins slid into second base and said something to Hi-Song Kim. And this little exchange between, what is his name, Steven Nelson and Eric Karros had me rolling.
Baseball fraternity, EK.
I was going to say, does Fortes speak Korean? Right? Like, how do you know what he's saying right there? Like, you
read
just
his lips. Congratulations.
You know what congratulations is.
He said it in English, EK. Congratulations. Kim, he understands congratulations.
Right, I'm saying who said congratulations?
Fortes.
Yeah, right. You're saying Kim said congratulations.
No, I'm saying Fortes told Kim congratulations.
Who's?
And he knows congratulations.
My brain is in a blender right now.
Oh my God!
On the center field, right at Chris Taylor. That's out number three in the fifth inning. 5-0 Dodgers.
Who's on first?
So
no.
Fortes
what?
Of the Marlins.
Yes.
Congratulated Hi-Song Kim on his first big league hit in RBI.
Yeah, congratulations.
Quick. Hey, congratulations.
Yeah.
Even if Hi-Song Kim doesn't totally understand English, it's a fairly okay, guys, give me a smile and a nod.
Well done.
I think I can probably deduce in any language what he is saying right there.
No. Does he speak Korean? No, Eric. Yeah, probably I need it one more time. It's so good. No.
Baseball fraternity, EK.
Yeah, it is.
I was going to say, does Fortes speak Korean?
What?
Right? Like, how do you know what he's saying right there? Like, you
read his lips. Congratulations.
You know what congratulations is in...
No, he said it in English, EK. Congratulations. Kim, he understands congratulations.
Right, I'm saying who said congratulations?
Fortes.
Yeah, right. You're saying Kim said congratulations.
No, I'm saying Fortes told Kim congratulations.
And he knows congratulations.
My brain is in a blender right now.
I thought you said I was all right, Spider. No, you're not all right, Spider. You're a real sniveling piece of ass. No, I thought you said. No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, that's overcomplicating the situation there, Eric.
Somebody tweeted out, I was crying laughing. I thought it was the funniest thing ever.
All right, we're running out of time. Let's skip right ahead to a little doo-doo this.
DD Mega Doo-Doo.
And how about this? Congratulations to, I guess Big League Wednesdays are going to be changing a little bit going forward, because out of seemingly the blue, our guy Brett Boone was named the new hitting coach of the Texas Rangers.
Crazy.
Yesterday. We were just talking, I think yesterday, about the Rangers firing their hitting coach / offensive coordinator.
Yep.
First time Boach has ever relieved a coach of duty during the season. And they have gone with Booney, who did play for Boach back in 2000 for the Padres. And, you know, thinking a different voice in there is going to make a difference. So congratulations to Brett Boone.
You have the audio? Booney was talking about it on his Brett Boone podcast.
You never know where life's going to take you. And the longer I live on this earth, I learned that. It's just, this completely came out of left field. It started, I went up to USC, my alma mater. I threw out a first pitch. I ran into an old buddy of mine.
I saw that.
Michael Young, and he's with the Texas Rangers. And we just started talking, and you know, we had a 10-minute conversation, gave each other a hug. I said, give CY, which is Chris Young, my new boss, the president of the Rangers, and obviously the skipper, Bruce Bochy, who I played under in 2000, but we've become, you know, I've been a really good friendship with him for a lot of years. And I get home, and the phone's ringing, and it's Bruce Bochy. And the first thing I thought is, this is weird. Mid-season, I know the Rangers have been scuffling with that offense. 2 years ago, they won the World Series and with the best offense in baseball, and now they're scuffling a little bit. I said, this is a weird time for Bruce to be calling, so I answered the phone as I do, and I said, Bruce, I know, can't get enough. You want to come back on the podcast? Because we've had Bruce on quite a few times, and he said, no, Booney, it's a different call. And he kind of ran it by me, and he said, why don't you think about it? And, you know, I talked to my wife, and I talked to the people, you know, close to me, and it didn't take long. You know, it was one of those things where I didn't know where this journey's taking me, but if there's a guy to get back on the field for the first time in a long time for me, there's no reason – Bruce Bochy's number one on my list. I mean, he's number one.
That's crazy. He goes Saturday, and he sees his old pal Michael Young, who, by the way, was
one of my favorite players.
Fantastic hitter. And 10-minute conversation, Ben. Young then gets on the phone, calls CY and Boch, and says, hey, what about Brett Boone? I love what he had to say in this 10-minute conversation.
Guy's just there with his family to throw out the first pitch at a college baseball game.
I mean, it's bananas. So I texted Booney. I go, this is incredible. He goes, pretty random. That's what he wrote back. We don't know what's going to happen. I would imagine that the podcast is done, and I would imagine our big league. I'm sure we can have Brett Boone on, you know, throughout
the
season.
You know, every once in a while, but yeah.
He's also Odyssey MLB insider, Brett Boone. I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
I wouldn't think so. Texas Rangers probably need to stroke a big fat check to Odyssey.
Yeah.
I will say now, between Boch, CY, Skip, Brett.
Yeah.
We're as dialed in as any radio program in America for the Texas Rangers now.
Oh. All of the shows in the Dallas-Fort Worth area are so jealous of us and our connections. You guys wish you
had... If they cared about the Rangers
in
Dallas.
If they cared even a little bit. They have moved from the Mavericks right to the Cowboys, just so you know.
Oh, yeah. But only 3 months until training camp.
Yeah.
She's got the Stars in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Stars still in the playoffs.
It's true.
Yeah, they are not talking any
and
Rangers.
And that is don't and do this for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Somebody made the point yesterday on Twitter. The Ben and Woods coaching tree is looking pretty, pretty good.
It's healthy. It's green.
It's green.
It's lush
blooming.
And blooming in this spring of the Ben and Woods coaching tree. All right, Jesse Agler is going to join us. It is an Incorporator Tuesday. He's going to call in from New York, get his firsthand thoughts on last night's amazing come-from-behind 4-3 win for the Padres. Coming up next year on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. And if you could predict that comeback last night, boy, do I have an app for you. Prize Picks is your way to turn daily fantasy into real cash. Millions of members around the country have already won billions of dollars playing daily fantasy with Prize Picks. All you have to do is pick more or less, set lineups between 2 and 6 players on their stat projections for your chance to win up to 2,000 times your money. I play all the time, set my lineups during baseball season, innings pitched for pitchers, strikeouts for pitchers, hits, hits plus RBI plus runs scored, all kinds of different options for you, multiple players on every team on every night, whatever game you're watching. You can set a Prize Picks lineup, and every Tuesday, which would be today, Prize Picks gives you discounted projections on the board, usually by 15% to 25%. That is Taco Tuesday. So check out the options today, whether it's in the basketball playoffs, the hockey playoffs. You can play it all and more with Prize Picks. So easy to do. Just use the code KWFN when you download the app and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup using the code KWFN with Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Just heard Paulie talking to Jesse Agler on the phone during the break. He said, we'll get right to you. Just hang hold. But Jesse's used to waiting now. I mean, rain delay on Friday, rain delay on Saturday, two rain delays on Monday. I'm assuming he can make it through a 45-second Kelly Danik traffic report. No problem at this point.
Yep.
Do whatever you do, Jesse, while you're waiting around to go on the air. And we will get to the voice of the Padres coming up momentarily here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, the tarp is coming off the studio. The radio hosts are returning to their microphones, and it looks like we will play Incorporator this morning with Jesse Agler, who is standing by from the Big Apple. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, buddy. How are you?
Tired?
A little bit. You know, I mean, it's funny because I think the rain delay becomes a very good storyline for us and for you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I really don't think the ones we've had have been that bad, which sounds maybe crazy. But, you know, I mean, at the beginning is the way to do it, which was the case, right, in Pittsburgh the first 2 days and the first one last night. Because then it's sort of like, all right, everybody just kind of stays in their pregame routine. And then the one that was in the game yesterday was, I think, 28 minutes. So not like disaster rain scenarios like we've seen other times. And, you know, it's been a lot, certainly, but it might sound crazy, but I think this whole thing could have been a lot worse.
Man, it could have. And speaking of a lot worse, it could have been a lot worse last night. The field conditions toward the end of the game were, I mean, nothing short of treacherous. You saw Goldschmidt slip coming out of the box. You saw Lockridge fall right on his butt. Looked like he was on ice skates out in center field. I had my fingers crossed that nobody ripped a hamstring. That catch that Hayward made back to the warning track, I was like, oh, God, his foot's about to go out from under him. I mean, those guys grinded through that one last night, Jesse.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I mean, even it seemed like the things that looked like routine pop-ups or routine fly balls were not routine. You know, just having to look up into the sky, and it was foggy and hazy and cloudy and then rainy. So yeah, no, I mean, it kind of is what it is, obviously, and everybody wanted to get it in. You know, this is something that's changed a little bit maybe in the last, call it 15 years, where Major League Baseball is very, very committed to getting these games in when scheduled, whenever possible.
Yeah.
And so there's more waiting than maybe there used to be. Not that there didn't used to be long rain delays at times, but I think in the past there was much more of a willingness, probably because of the schedule, especially in the pre, you know, 98 expansion era, maybe even the pre 93 expansion era, where, you know, you play teams a bunch more, so it was a lot easier to, you know, play a doubleheader later on in the season. They really try and avoid that now whenever possible. So you are going to have more nights like last night. But I tell you what, Groundskeeper Yankee Stadium did an incredible job. You know, I know it was wet at the end, but I mean, that was just, you know, as good as it was going to get yesterday. And the little rain delay in the fourth inning, it was amazing how good the field was when they resumed play. So again, like in terms of the weather, not ideal, but definitely could have been way worse.
Jesse Woods was very poetic at the beginning of the show about why he thinks baseball is by far the best sport. And last night was an illustration. It was a game that was a slog, wasn't going well for the Padres. Felt like you could have easily just thrown in the towel and lived to fight another day, but that's not what happened and turned in to what I would imagine will end up being one of your more memorable games on the microphone in your career. Give us your perspective just of calling that comeback, the ejections, everything that went in to the eighth inning last night.
Yeah, it was a signature win this year for this team. I don't think there's any doubt. And I mean, they've had a couple like this, certainly, in terms of the comebacks. But I think this one, as you alluded to, was a little bit extra, right? I mean, between the ejections, between the weather, between just sort of the weirdness of the night, and truly because it was at Yankee Stadium, you know, it felt a little bit more special than maybe some of those other comeback wins did. And it was two really good teams facing off. And the Padres took advantage of the Yankees' ultimate weakness here in 2025, which is the back end of that bullpen. And I know Weaver's been great this year, but they got to Devin Williams, who's been gotten a bunch this year. He's off to one of those, like, miserable New York starts. I think the transition from Milwaukee to New York has been a very tough one on Devin Williams. Not that he can't get it figured out at some point and turned around, but he hasn't. And the Padres, you know, really almost as if it were scripted, took full advantage of what he's been going through. And then, I mean, to get the first run of the season against Weaver. Weaver had allowed three hits all year. Padres got two against him back-to-back last night. So, I mean, that's the kind of performance that they were able to put together. But that is what this team is. You know, that is the identity of this Padre team, as set very firmly by their manager, Mike Schilt. And they've got the talent to back that mindset up. And that's why I think you see games like last night.
Talking to the great Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, Jesse, that was a Hall of Fame ejection for Mike Schilt. I don't know that he'll end up in Cooperstown. He very well could one day. That will be one that I will remember forever. That was... And I saw it coming, and I saw it coming in about the fourth, fifth inning. He was barking all night. And, you know, when you see your star player get thrown out with his back to the umpire, he came out and he let him have it. Now, you guys, what was the history? There's a history between Schilt and Adrian Johnson?
Yeah, calling it a history might be overstating it a little bit, but we had him on opening day against Atlanta, and there was plenty of barking that day. And Jesse does a little digging and found out that, you know, that wasn't the first time that there had been some disagreements with that particular umpire. So you had some stuff from the past. Then that kind of bubbled up again on opening day this year in that game against the Braves. And then, you know, yesterday it boiled over. Those are always things to keep in mind. Very few things in baseball happen in a vacuum. You know, sometimes something will pop up and occur. But oftentimes when you see that sort of energy, there's something more to it. So, yeah. We were on that, you know, talking about it. And certainly I think earlier in the game, you could see Mike was not going to give Johnson, you know, a lot of leeway on some of the calls that they didn't like. And I don't have any doubt, not that they would necessarily say this, but I don't have any doubt that some of the stuff that's occurred in the past, including, you know, at the end of March, probably had an impact on what took place yesterday. And Fernando, I mean, just to take a moment, that to me was a work of art, what Fernando pulled off, because he knew, I would think, and I haven't talked to him yet, but I would imagine he knew he was going to say exactly what he said, and it was going to result in an ejection. There are certain words, phrases, compound words, if you prefer, that will pretty much have that result. The way he did it, though, was like a drive-by, like a silent assassin.
Yeah, just,
I mean, just kind of this little, I'm going to whisper it right in your ear, walk away, and never even look back at you. And to me, that was it was honestly like a work of art. So funny. And, you know, as you said, Mike came out there to back his guy up. You know, I'm sure you guys have talked about it or played it or you will. But, you know, Schilt, after the game, you know, he's saying, like, one of the things he takes pride in is his players not getting ejected. So to come out there and be able to back Fernando up in that way was very, very entertaining.
Jesse, you watch every single game. I watch every single game. They don't whine a lot. They don't. There are major league teams. I won't mention any name, the Dodgers, but cry and piss and moan about every ball that doesn't go their way. Managers, they just don't. They're not that team. They're not that real gripey, bitchy team. I just don't see it out of them. When he said that last night, it was a light bulb in my head. I went, dude, he's right. He's absolutely right. You may see the head tilt, the kind of the funny look at the umpire, but you don't see these guys like constantly whining like you see so many other teams. The Dodgers do.
No, I mean, they're not. I mean, they've had guys the last couple of years. There's one who's not playing for the next 70 or so games, who used to, you know, take exception to a lot of calls, but that was kind of his personality, his thing, not the thing of the team. And that's fine. Look, every team usually has a guy or two like that. But you're right. I mean, generally they don't, you know, they don't make a big thing of it because that's the mentality of this team. You know, the mentality is to just turn the page and, all right, you know, I'm not getting that call. I might be annoyed. I might shoot the look. I might have a quick word, but I'm not going to let that impact the next pitch because if I do, I'm putting myself at a competitive disadvantage. This team is so competitive. This team is so locked in on winning. It's not about individual numbers. It's not about one call I got or I didn't get. It's about trying to do whatever I can to win. And that means when you get a bad call, you have to flush it right away because you got to get ready for the next one.
So did you see Jackson Merrill in the clubhouse? He did not. We thought he was going to be activated yesterday. Kind of glad he didn't have to slide around on that outfield.
Yeah,
but
are you kidding me?
It looks like today will be the day that Jackson Merrill now returns to the Padres lineup.
Did you see him in the dugout before the game?
I did not.
Oh, you did not?
I didn't see him.
He was there all day.
Okay.
He was there.
Yeah, he was there so yesterday. Fired up. Like a little kid.
Yeah, so he's there. You know, if things are denied, I would expect him to be out there. But, you know, not necessarily a guarantee with the weather. although it's supposed to be pretty much okay tonight. But yeah, he was there all day yesterday, got to watch the game, do the whole thing pregame, and obviously very good news. I don't think the plan was ever for him to go back yesterday. They had kind of decided to do a day off after the two rehab games at AA. So yesterday was kind of that rest day. So I think, yeah, theoretically today is the plan for Jackson Merrill. But, you know, we'll wait and see exactly what happens when we get down there, up there.
All right. I don't know. I feel like I need to switch now because what do you think I should do?
I think we may need to find a new word.
Yes.
And just we'll tell our audience once we figure out the word and then maybe give it to Jesse.
I didn't,
got a word.
I didn't realize. I thought it was an art term that I had for Jesse, but it also
it's
very
much not
inappropriate.
An art term. It's a deviant, sexual, disgusting.
Jesse, I am
so sorry.
You will. I'm gonna,
you know, I expect that from Woodsy, but not from
no,
you.
Well, I was, oh, it no, was accidental for
there's
me.
There's only one massive pervert on this show, and it's not me. I'm sending this to you now.
No. Don't
I just
send
it to Jesse.
All right.
And then I'm going to give
it you. It is an art term. It is absolutely an art term.
You are.
But I don't think
you
we
have
should do
lost,
it. I don't think we should do it.
You have
I
lost never, your mind.
I did not see well, that definition when
root,
in my
the
research.
Root, it's the root word of the word he wanted to give you. Let me know when you get it.
Well, he's not going to do sure. it. There's no chance.
No, I know he's not going to do it, but I want him to see what kind of pervert, deviant creep that I'm working with on a daily basis. Look at this, what he wanted to give you tonight.
All right, hold on. Let me look at my
phone. All right.
Oh, my God.
I Googled
Paulie, thank God for you for looking that up.
I was pulling got up him the in pronunciation.
Yeah,
right.
yeah.
That's,
you don't want to do that.
Well, yeah, that's not one that
now,
you...
Now, here's my question, I guess. So, Ben, I never heard of that. Ben,
I
know,
I had never heard
of
it either.
Yeah, I haven't.
So Woods is Woods caught this one?
Paul
is
did.
Paul did.
Paul did.
Thank
God. Thank
Paul.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'm going to switch it now. I'll stay in the world of art, and I don't think we've done this one.
Art?
Yes. That was
That's not art.
It was, it
I guess
was
some
an
people
art term.
Might call it
was
art.
An art term. All right, let's do this. Paulie won't have it for you, but I've got it for you. Diptych.
Whoa, God!
Good
it's an
God!
Art, it's an artwork consisting of two pieces or panels that together create a single art piece.
Diptych.
Beautiful.
Diptych. DIPTYCH. Diptych.
Mm.
What?
Lovely.
I'm lovely. I'm letting our chat know.
I can post the word.
I just put it in the
no,
chat.
No, it's not ing, it's Aj.
Okay.
It's, yeah, you've got it wrong. My term was going. It was defined as I saw it as the art technique of using charcoal or chalk to create like a textured contour to your artwork.
Sure.
Yeah. Also, the other way is for two guys to cross their swords. Is a nice way to say it. That's the other root word.
So we won't give you that.
Dictionary definition is the practice or touching or rubbing against a clothed body of another person in a crowd. As a means
inappropriate,
of
right.
obtaining
there, that's fine. Diptych.
Diptych
is the word for Jesse.
I'm so sorry,
for the
Jesse.
Incorporated
Good
tonight.
God.
Good luck, Jesse.
Wash your hands, boys.
All right. Jesse Agler joining us from New York City.
Why does he put up with us, man? Oh, God. Paulie, what prompted you to go look up the root
no,
word?
No, I Googled. I went on Google and I typed in the word.
The
because
first,
that's how I get the pronunciation.
And the first definition that did come up was an art terminology, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
What's
and then
the second?
On the right side of the screen on Google, it has the root word.
Right.
I didn't look up the root word.
Clearly. Clearly you didn't.
Should I show it in the chat?
Sure, you can show it in the chat. It's so deviant.
You were texting us about it last night. You're like, hey,
he was very
I got
excited
the word.
About
I didn't
it.
Google it then, but I Googled
so
the word. To get the
I was thinking with the Met Gala last night, let's do something art related for Jesse. And I was looking up what are some weird art terms, and this one came up.
You don't
in my
always
research.
Have to go on theme.
I like themes.
Real or fake.
I
this
like
week
themes.
Will be a famous artist. Like it doesn't have to be on theme.
I like themes. I do.
That root word, man.
I kept the art theme with diptych.
I don't usually like text you guys or try to get
no,
your attention
during,
especially
the
during
show,
an interview, during a segment. I was like, you might want to check your phone.
All right, fine. Fair enough. Thank you, Paulie.
Thank you.
That's what a good
so
producer slash editor is. That's what
dodged
you're around for.
There.
We dodged such a bullet.
All right. We will come back. As I teased earlier, we have a major guest announcement for tomorrow's show coming up to lead off the second half of Ben and Woods. Do not go away. We will continue. We got more Padres talk as well. And Jim Lampley, legendary sportscaster in studio at 9 a.m. right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam.